Well, good evening, everyone. Beautiful singing. I sat there and just closed my eyes and listened, and it sounded beautiful. And one day, I think we'll be singing around the throne of God. And sitting there thinking, tonight, there's two things that cause us to say, "Don't come right now, Lord." And one of those is a burden on my heart. I think there's two reasons why people will say, "Wait, Lord, I'm not ready yet." And one of them is because there's sin in your heart that you're not willing to get rid of. And the other one is, "Lord, there's a friend of mine. There's a close relative of mine that's not ready yet. Could you please wait just a little longer, Lord?" And you pray, and you pray for them. My wife and I were praying. We pray for our children on a regular basis. And over the last year, we prayed earnestly for our children, for the salvation of their souls. And it seemed like nothing was happening. It just seemed like God wasn't moving. And if Christ were to come back, I mean, there's somehow God in his infinite wisdom, he takes care of sorrow when maybe our children aren't right with him, and we get to heaven and they don't make it. Somehow God takes care of that. But while we're on this earth, we have emotions and feelings, and we can't understand how that would be. To go to heaven and one of our children are left behind. So those things put a burden on our hearts. And thank God, God moved and saved the soul of our daughter not that long ago, and our son as well, and we rejoice in that. But I know what the burden is. I know that feeling of a burden when you are praying and you don't want the Lord Jesus to return because someone close to your heart's not quite ready. So I want my heart to, and all of our hearts, to kind of let that burden flow away from our families as well as to other people. I picture us as a congregation tonight. You know, we're all on a journey. We're on a journey to the promised land. And if you and your family would be on a physical journey tonight, and you have a journey and you have a destiny, and you're going to go there and you're never going to come back. And as you journey on that pathway and you see a few people that are kind of veering off this way and veering off that way, it's kind of hard for us just to sit back and say, "Let's just go and let them alone." I know we heard a lot today on salvation. And I was not necessarily wanting to share the message that God laid upon my heart tonight, but I thought tonight, again, we're going to have a possible revival message and another salvation message, maybe from a different angle. But if you're a true born-again believer, there's a burden touches your soul when you see that path being taken by those that maybe have once known the Lord or maybe have never known the Lord. They take that path off. Other things are catching their attention beside where we are going, an eternal destiny. And when that happens, we sound the alarm because there's passion in our hearts for your soul. And that's why there's a heavy burden I think it carries along with Christians as we walk through life for those that are not right with God. And we carry that. And I ask the Lord to put a deep love in my heart for souls that are not right with him. And you know who you are tonight if you're in here in that condition. You know where you're at. You know the secret corners of your heart like nobody else does. I did. When I was a young man, I knew the secret corners of my heart. I knew the secret corners of my heart that I didn't want one person to touch. I didn't want anybody to get close to because I loved it. But when you get really sick and tired of it and the burden weighs on your heart, you can give it up. And we might touch on some of that. Tonight, for an opening text, I might pray if you don't mind. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. Oh God, we thank you for this privilege to be able to gather tonight. Thank you for the privilege of being able to sing songs from our heart. Lord, songs of redemption, songs of joy, songs of praise. We thank you, Lord, that you died. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? That you died for such a worm as us, Lord. The value that you placed upon humanity, that you were willing to give of your own Son to be crucified and given his life given for the ransom of the world, for the sins of the whole world. We thank you, Jesus, that we get to bask in that salvation tonight through repentance and believing on our Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray that you would help the words to come out of my mouth that you would want me to share tonight, Lord. Not to mine own wisdom, Lord, but the words that come from Scripture. Oh, Father, I pray that you would move amongst us. Help hearts to be stirred tonight to a closer walk with you, or even a commitment to following you tonight. Oh, Lord, there's no fancy words in salvation. It's just simply come. So I pray that your Spirit will rest heavily upon our hearts tonight. Help us to rejoice and also to have a burden for those that are lost. In Christ's name, amen. Opening scripture, Psalms chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. I might just read verses 3 and 4 for the sake of time. Verse 3 says, Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Those are pretty simple things to understand. My simple understanding of that is, who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to go into the presence of the Lord except the person that has clean hands and a pure heart and who didn't lift up his soul into vanity? Vanity simply means emptiness, nothingness. There's no gain. No, Mark shared today about he just woke up in the morning and he had a drive to do whatever filled his heart with pleasure. That was what he lived for, and I can testify to that. We did those kind of things. And that type of heart will not ascend unto the hill of the Lord. It's a sobering reality. And you know, up here on the way up here tonight, there was a fresh batch of flowers on the northwest side of State Road 101 right before you get to Campbell. And most of us know what happened there. A young girl, in a split second, a semi hit her and her life was ended. Over. Didn't know the condition of her soul. But you know, that could be you tonight. You have a healthy body. I mean, you everything looks fine, works very good. But life can be snatched away from you in a blink of an eye. And if you do not have a pure heart, and if you're still lifting up your soul into vanity, you will not ascend into the hill of the Lord. That's a sobering reality. For the sake of a title tonight, I have titled the message, A Complete Annihilation of the Amalekites. I know that kind of sounds fancy, and I don't mean to be that way, but that will mean something to us as we look into the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. A Complete Annihilation of the Amalekites. Before we go there, maybe a lot of you know the story. If I can find 1 Samuel here. Okay, I'm here. But before we go there, there's a story of a man. I'm not exactly sure how much of a true story this is or how much of it's just simply an allegory. But there was a man working at a woodworking shop. And one day, as he was working, he got a sliver somewhere in his hands. And as he was working, the sliver irritated him, so he couldn't work as effectively as he could if he'd have just simply got the sliver out. I just got a thorn. I was clearing up some thorn bushes the other, and I was frustrated. Every time I touched that, it hurt. So I stopped this morning. I got the old knife out, and I plucked it out. There was pain. It hurt. But once it was out, I can feel better. I can once again work with my hands. But this man refused to get that sliver. He said, I'll be just fine. So he worked on and on. He worked day after day with a sliver in his hand. And all of a sudden, one day, his hand started swelling up and getting all red. And some of his friends said, hey, sir, let's go get that sliver out of your hand before, you know, so you can work effectively. Nope, I'm fine. He refused to do it. Well, before long, he was one-handed. He couldn't work with the hand. And the story goes on, and I think you know where the story is going. He refused to take the sliver out of his hand. And at some point, the doctor said, if we amputate your arm, we'll save your life. Well, the story goes on, he refused to do that and eventually died because poison or infection spread throughout his entire body because he wouldn't touch or get rid of the one sliver. So the burden that the Lord laid upon my heart is a complete annihilation of the Amalekites, referring to sin. A complete annihilation of sin in our hearts. And we're going to talk about, I might read this portion of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 1, Samuel said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that what Amalekite did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, and when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalekite and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman and infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass." And Saul gathered his men together. We know how the story goes. And prior to this, I read Samuel, some of the activities of Saul prior to this chapter. And he was a very successful general in the army, a king. He utterly destroyed many armies prior to this. And I kind of picture him standing there when Samuel said, "Thus saith the Lord, Saul." What did God say? And he didn't listen to what God really said. And when he heard that there needs to be a complete annihilation of the Amalekites, he said, "All right, well, I'll do it my way." So he goes into the Amalekites, and the first thing he does, and I'm not exactly sure if this was right or not, but in verse 6, he said unto the Kenites, "Go and depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them." So there were some people living in the Amalekite city, and he said, "Get out of there before I come, because you're not, that way you don't." And I don't. Samuel did not say to do this. Maybe that was okay. I'm not exactly sure. However, as the time goes on, he went and he made a complete slaughter there. But when he got to the king, he saved. Verse 8, it says, "He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they did utterly destroy." So we know the story. Samuel comes to Saul, and he hears the bleating of sheep. He hears the animals and things. And we know that God rejected Saul in that moment because he wouldn't utterly destroy the Amalekites. And we'll refer to that later in our own lives. But later on in the chapter, and I picked this up the other evening, 1 Samuel chapter 30, I'm not sure how many years later this would have been, but it was a long time later. And we know that story very well as well. When David was living where he was there, and he went out I'm not exactly sure what they were doing, but the Amalekites came in while David and his men were gone, and they wiped out the city and took the women and children and everything that they had with them. So when I had to think of that, they're huge contrast. Saul was not willing to annihilate sin. We can just use it like that. But it was a small thing. It was just a couple of sheep and some camels and the king. But because he wouldn't do that, there's something that was left alone that many years later came up and destroyed or wreaked havoc amongst God's chosen people, David and his clan, and took the women and children captive. And what I'd like to refer to that there, you know, when we come to Christ, there's a surrender that needs to take place. There's something that needs to take place. Like, we need to get really serious. When you get tired of that burden that the Lord lays upon your heart because of the sin, and you come to Him, and someone helps you pray, and they help you down through the list of your sins, or you can do it by yourself. But if there's ever a time when there's something comes to you like, I can't let that one go. That's too precious to me. And I'm going to get very practical. And you can do with it what you want to. But if the Lord lays upon your heart to get rid of some of those very practical things in your life, maybe a social media account that affects the way you live life. And if the God lays it, get rid of that thing. And that's too fun. I'd like to save that for a later time when I have some time. I might use some spare time and waste a little time on that. if you don't destroy, utterly annihilate sin in your life, nailing it to the cross, just simply giving it all to the Lord Jesus, laying it on the altar. Maybe it doesn't seem practical. There's some things that I had to give up in my life in order to walk with God that didn't seem practical. Like, I want this, Lord, but I had to lay it upon the altar. And upon doing so, the Lord can give you a blessing. But as this took place, the Amalekites came in and took David, and we know that David was able to. And that's a beautiful thing about repentance. That's a beautiful thing about when we realize that, hey, back there, I didn't completely annihilate sin. When we realize that, we can say, Lord, I want to be restored. I want to get rid of this thing in my life. And when David, he got all his women and children back, it said in verse 17 of chapter 30, and David smote them from the twilight evening until the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400. But what happened there is David labored long. He labored, I think there was possibly almost a 24-hour stretch of non-stop battle, hand-to-hand combat with the enemy, and he won. He got it back. But there had to be some labor there. And we can get that back when we truly repent, because God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. And when we turn to Him we're not willing to let any sin unturned. And I know that sometimes we can get a little bit, for a touchy or a sensitive conscience, this thought can tend to kind of throw us for a spin. But it doesn't have to. You know, we know where our hearts are at. We know if there's some secret places in our heart that we, you know, I'd rather that they wouldn't see. I think somebody mentioned it about just our cell phone usage. Can anybody see that? Are you free with those kinds of things? And we know that. But if we're willing to hold on to that, I'm sorry, I can't give up that part of Amalekite in my life. Years later, it may be very short after that, there could be wreck havoc in your life. You could lose your way. And if you die before you get to make it right with God, you could be eternally lost. And you know what? Life is really good right now. In our country, you can make a good living. You can live a comfortable life as a family. But I want to tell you something that caught my attention in Revelation chapter 18. I won't go too long here tonight, but this caught my attention. It says in 1 hour. In Revelation 18, it says in 1 hour. Things were different. Things changed. And in World War II, we're reading a story right now where there was a family. Life was beautiful. They had happy memories. They had picnics out in the yard. Everything was going very, very nice. And then when the Russians invaded Poland or however exactly, I don't exactly know how it went, it totally uprooted their happy, peaceful life. We can bask in the pleasantness that we have now. And we can rejoice in it. But remember, it will not always be that way. There's a day coming, because God's word says this earth's wearing out. We can see it. This earth is wearing out. So fun and vanity and games and whatever the emptiness brings will not last forever. So don't set your heart on it. Give Christ your heart, something that's of eternal value. Yes, we can enjoy those things. But that caught my attention in 1 hour. I'm not sure of how figuratively that is or if that's literally 1 hour, but that's a short time. If it's a year, think about from 1 year from now. Last year at this time, everything was the same. But things could change. I don't mean to scare you. Because in Revelation 18, it tells the children of God to rejoice because Babylon was uprooted. So the children of God could rejoice, but the children of the devil will be sorrowful. Lot's wife was another example. Lot's wife had her heart tied back to Sodom. She wasn't willing to annihilate sin completely in her life. So when she was away from it, she looked back. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. So just picture with me again. You know, I appreciate the thought that we're all on a journey. We're all walking together. As a family, when we walk up, maybe down the streets of Fort Wayne, we're going somewhere. We have a very, very close eye on our children. If one of them veers this way or one of them veers that way, we go after them. And a thought came to me the other night, a couple of weeks ago. This has happened to me in a store. My wife and I were in a store, and you walk in the store, and this might expose some of my lax parenting, but we walk in the store, and my boys, they got an eye for toys. And they're the big toy out. Dad, can we go see this? And so they're over there looking at the toys. I mean, it catches their attention. And we kind of meander off, and we're over here, and we walk down the other aisle, and all of a sudden, the boys over here, they're looking at these toys, and they look back, and Dad's gone. And guess what happens to the toys? They lose their glamour. They lose their drawingness, and they say, "Where's Dad?" And they run around, and their eyes get wild. They want to find Dad again. And when they find him, there's peace, there's safety. So I want you to have that heart tonight. Maybe if that's you tonight, maybe you got distracted by the toys in life and you realize, I lost Dad. Look away from the toys and try to find Dad again, because he's waiting for you. Closing in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 9 through 12. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat. Now, I tell you what, if you get that picture in your mind that one day this big old earth is going to be on fire, and it's going to melt with a fervent heat, and every glamorous mansion that was ever built, every resort that was ever built that draws our attention and causes us to say, wow, will be melted with a fervent heat. So don't set your affections on things below, but on things above. Because God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any person, not just in this room, but of the 8-point-some billion people that are created, not a one of them does he want to perish. I think it hurts his heart when he has to cause life to go from a person that is not right with him. But he's sovereign. He gives people ample opportunity. And tonight, he's given you that opportunity. He's given you that ample opportunity tonight to empty yourself of sin. And you know where we're at. You know where you're at tonight. God gives you an opportunity, and he's given you many. If you've been coming to this church for a long time, he's given you many opportunities. Don't spurn the grace of God. I know that we can't outlive the long suffering of the Lord, but someday God does say it's enough, and our chances are over, and the mercy of the Lord is over. So may the Lord bless you, and I hope you were encouraged.